continuing in the book of Hebrews. You realize this is the, 13th month in this book. Basic theme is Jesus is better. We are in chapter 12. And we're going to be through verses 12 through 17. Therefore, strengthen your tired hands and weakened knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but healed instead. Pursue peace with everyone and holiness. Without it, no one will see the Lord. Make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble, and by it, defiling many. And make sure that there isn't any immoral or irreverent person like Esau, who sold his birthright in exchange for one meal. For you know that later, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected because he didn't find any opportunity for repentance, though he sought it with tears. And I have this entitled, Living Out God's Grace. And, you know, we can do nothing apart from the grace of God. You understand that? And that's really what this little passage is about. We've gone through 11 plus chapters of Hebrews, and the first 10 is just exalting Jesus Christ, how he's a better sacrifice, he's a better high priest, he's better than the angels, he's better than the law, and all these things just amplifying Jesus Christ. And then we come into chapter 11 and we have all these people, these men and women, just normal people like you and me, got their faults, made their mistakes, some of them bigger mistakes than others in our eyes, but nonetheless, people. And yet God used them in marvelous ways, and we have the whole chapter 11 is the testimony of these people to us of what God did in their lives and what we can have in our life if we just trust Him and obey Him. And we have these witnesses, and then as we move into 12, the Bible talks about keeping our eyes on Jesus in the midst of things that may be going on and setting our weight aside and the sin that does so easily beset us. And the race, he calls it the race that is set before us. You know, we don't pick the race. God lays it out. And I talked about that last week, or 2 weeks ago, the lane. And that we tend to get out of our lane. We might be, you know, in this lane for a while, but we start looking at what everyone else is doing. And that's natural, isn't it? We tend to look and say, oh, well, you know, why should I do this? Look at him. Well, that's got nothing to do with it. Run your race, the race that's set before you. And we have that race, and then that he lays out. And if we are going to finish the race, we're going to have discipline in our life. And that's what we talked about last week, was how God disciplines us, and he brings discipline to us that we can finish that race. And now we come to this passage, and it starts off in verse 12, therefore, when you see therefore, you got to look back and see what all the therefore is about. And it's really, God has presented Christ, he's presented these witnesses, he's presented all these things he's going to do in your life. He's going to give you the race, he's going to give you the discipline, he's going to give you the power. And now it comes to you and me. It comes to us. What are we going to pick? How are we going to go? Are we going to go forward? Are we going to go to the side, to the left, to the right? Which way are we going to do? In other words, how are we going to respond to God's grace in our life? How, as the title says, are we going to live out God's grace? You know, we already, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, and I hope you have, you've already gotten some of God's grace. By grace you are saved, through faith. You place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And God, in His grace, says, you know what? You are not guilty. And you have eternal relationship with me, and I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit, and He does. And He gives us the power to serve Him, to obey Him, to worship Him, to understand Him. All that comes wrapped up with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we have that in our life. And now we still have that sin nature, don't we? We still have that flesh that says, I want to do it my way. And that's where the battle begins. And Paul mentioned it several times in his writings, how the flesh wars against the Spirit. Because you see, when we accepted Christ as our Savior, our spirit came alive. That was the new birth. Your spirit came alive. And your spirit bears witness with God's spirit. His spirit bears witness with our spirit. That's how you know. That's how you know. And when that happens, our flesh says, I don't want to do that. And we have that battle within us. And then we make a choice. We make a choice. And that's really what this comes down to in this passage. It's, are we going to live out God's grace in our life or not? And so, found it. So now we go into the message. And we have verses 12 and 13. We see the impact of God's grace. The impact of grace. He says, therefore, because of all what I've showed you, strengthen your tired hands and weakened knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but healed instead. You know, God's grace impacts. Notice what he said here, our hands. He says, strengthen your hands. And what do you do with your hands? You work. You know, it signifies our work. It impacts, God's grace impacts our work, what we do. And I'm not talking about your job. It does impact that, but I'm talking about your work for the Lord. What you do, how you deal with your relationships, how you deal with your job, how you deal with your money, how you deal with your faith. All those things is impacted. That's our hands. But then it also, it's our knees and feet in this passage. And that's our walk. It affects our work and our walk. How are you walking? And that's what he's addressing right here. And you know what? We must work strong. We must work strong. And that word, it says strengthen. Strengthen your tired hands. You know, what happens when you get tired? What happens when you get tired? You ever watch boxing? You know, at the beginning, oh, they're up like this. At the end, you know, if you ever wore boxing gloves for any length of time, they don't weigh much, but man, they feel like they weigh like 10 pounds each at the end. You can't hardly get your arms up. You're tired from the work. And you know what? If you're doing it in your strength, if you're working in your strength, yeah, you're going to get tired. And your arms will be down. And you'll be open to the enemy to knock you out. But if you're working in his power, and that's grace, that's allowing the grace of God to empower you and use you, you don't burn out. You stay strong because you see, it's not your strength, it's his. Whose strength are you relying on? Your own? Because you know what? We do have some. We have abilities. We have things we can do in our own power. But if you're going to finish the race, it's going to be in his power. We must work strong. That word strengthen means to set aright or restore. Restore your tired hands. It's interesting. Isaiah says the same thing. I put all the references in your notes this week in the outline so you can look them up. But in Isaiah, it says, strengthen the weak hands. Steady the shaking knees. Say to the cowardly, be strong. Do not fear. Here is your God. Vengeance is coming and God's retribution is coming. He will save you. You know, I don't know what you're facing. Some of you I do, some of you I don't. I don't know what's going on in your life. And some of you that I think I know, I'm probably wrong. But God knows. And you know what? He'll save you. The outcome will be good. Oh, you may go through pain, and you do, and we do. All of us do. There's trials. None of us are exempt from that. But when you're walking in His strength and in His power and in His grace, He will come through. Do you believe that? Yeah. No? Amen? Amen. Yeah, okay. Wow. You guys were just so wrapped up in the message. No response. He will come through. So work strong. Work, strengthen your arms. Don't work in your own power. Work in His. Work in His. We must walk straight, though. We got to walk straight. Make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated but healed instead. You know, every one of us is lame in an area. You know, there's an area that just isn't right. And it makes us want to kind of go a different way. I have a good friend down in San Diego area, and he had polio. And his one leg, it's really weak. And it kind of is turned to the side. And when he walks, it constantly pulls him. He has to work to go straight. And it takes a lot out of him. And you know, we are so easily distracted and tempted. And you know, it's so easy to go from the right or to the left. And to be turned out of the way, as the Bible says. And we need to understand that we are on a path. And here's what I want you to think about. You know, every one of us, we have people that watch us. Could be your husband, your wife. Could be your children. It could be a coworker. Could be another church member. It could be somebody that you're acquainted with in the marketplace. And they're watching your path. And we need to ask ourselves sometimes, is the trail that we're leaving, does it lead others or mislead others? We're going along, and we're supposed to be going the right way. But if we're not, and others are following us, where are we taking them? We got to go on the straight. I heard someone say it the other day, you don't want to get ahead of God, and you don't want to get like way behind Him either. You want to be just right behind Him and just stay with Him. Proverbs, let your eyes look forward. You know what we do so many times? We're always looking back. Every one of us has a past. Every one of us has things in our past we're not proud of. We have mistakes that we made, choices that we made. When you look back, it turns you. You look back and you start immediately going off the path. Listen, learn from the past, but don't live in it, folks. You cannot change your past. The stuff that happened, whether some of it, you know, some of my past was my fault. Bad choices I made. Some of my past was not choices I made. It was just stuff that happened to me. But regardless, you can't change it. So quit going back there. Learn from it and go forward. If it's something that you have left undone, then take care of it. You know, there was a time I had to go to my dad and ask him to forgive me for being a knucklehead, basically. And he didn't have a clue what I was doing. But before I could go forward, I had to take care of business. And God revealed that to me at one time. And I did. And it was a scary thing. Because first of all, my dad doesn't know the Lord. And so when I went to him, and he it was so far over his head, he had no clue. But I still had to ask him to forgive me. Because I had bitterness in my heart. And God revealed it to me. And he said, you know what? You need to do this. And I'm like, wait a minute. I didn't do anything to him. He did it to me. God said, my word says, honor your father and your mother. And it doesn't say if they were perfect. It just says honor them. And you know what? I had to humble myself. I had to go there. And I asked him, and he, you know, it's really funny because he said, oh, you were a good kid. And he wanted to get out of there faster than I did. I'm not kidding you. You deal with your past, you resolve it if it needs to be resolved, and then you know what? Let your eyes look forward. Let your eyes look forward because you can't change that back there. A lot of stuff I'd like to change, absolutely, but you can't change it. It's done. Deal with it, learn from it, go forward. Let your eyes look forward. Fix your gaze straight ahead. Carefully consider the path for your feet. I like the King James. It says, ponder the path of your feet. Ponder. And there's another verse later in Proverbs. I don't have it on here, just popped in my head. It says, you know what? God ponders your path. If you're not going to ponder your path, well, don't think that gets you out of it, because you know what? God is pondering your path. We need to understand that. He says, carefully consider the path of your feet, and guess what? All your ways will be established. It doesn't say you will establish them. It says they will be established. God will establish your way. We need to ponder the path we're on. Consider your ways. What is it that, what direction are you going in? Do you even know? Don't turn to the right or to the left. Keep your feet away from evil. Proverbs 4:25-27. That's the impact of grace, folks. You can't do that without grace, without God's grace. And grace has impact. It impacts our work. It impacts our walk. And then we have the instruction of grace. 14 and 15. Tells us to do something. We have instruction. We need grace in our relationships. Boy, is that the truth? Do we need grace in our relationships? Better believe it, right? Pursue peace with everyone. With everyone. Who's everyone? Everyone. Because you know what? There's people you don't want to pursue peace with, isn't there? You're thinking of them right now, aren't you? Yeah, you are. You got them, I got them, we all got them. It's that relative, it's that neighbor, it's that coworker, it's whatever. And you want to give them the what for, don't you? Because, you know, they've done it to you one too many times, haven't they? Whatever it is. But we have an instruction of grace. Pursue peace with everyone. And then just to rub it in, and holiness. How can you treat someone wrong and then call yourself holy? Well, wait a minute, I don't call myself holy. Oh, yeah, well, God says, be ye holy even as I am holy. Uh-oh. We must find grace. We got to find it. We got to find it. And you know what's great is? It finds you, if you let it. God gives it out freely. We got to find it. And we got to find it for what? We got to find it in our human relationships, don't we? In our human relationships. It takes grace and effort to get along with others, doesn't it? I mean, there's some people you just naturally get along with. It's just fun. Good to be around. But then there's those, aren't there? The ones when they walk in this door, you go out that door. Because you don't want to deal with it. But sometimes it's a person you can't get away from. It's a person you have to see. And it takes grace, doesn't it? The grace to do it. To grace in our human relationships. Romans says, so then. See, in another place it says what? Pursue what promotes peace and builds up one another. Let me ask you a question. Do you promote peace? Or do you just want it? You know, everybody wants peace. I mean, I remember witnessing to this Muslim guy on the way to an airport in Denver. And it's a long story, but I'm not going to tell it to you. But the end of it, I asked him a question. I said, don't you want peace? And he looked at me and he said, who would not want peace? But here's the deal, see. I was talking to him about having peace with God. And he wants peace, but he's not willing to promote it. Let us pursue what promotes peace. Yeah, everybody says, oh, I want peace. Well, are you willing to do what it takes to have it? See, that's the question. If you want peace, you're going to have to maybe humble yourself. Maybe ask for forgiveness. Maybe give some forgiveness to have that peace. It might cost you something. See, this is why we need grace, folks. Because we don't want to do it. That's why we need grace. What is that old saying? It's not in the Bible, but to err is human, to forgive divine. Because we don't really want to forgive. But God working through us, we can. Everything. We can forgive. We can. God gives us the power and the ability to do so through grace. So we must find grace in our human relationships, and we need it also in our heavenly relationships. It takes grace to obey God and be holy. It takes grace to obey. Because he says, pursue peace with everyone. And then it says, and holiness. Are you pursuing holiness? Holy. What does it mean to be holy? Let me read it to you. It is a state into which God in grace calls people to sanctify themselves and experience fellowship with God. Be ye holy, even as I am holy. And that's a command. It's not a request. But as the one who called you is holy, you also are to be holy in all of your conduct. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Now, can you do this? No. And neither can I. Not in my power, not in my ability. What did Jesus say? With man, these things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. With God working through us, yes, our conduct can be holy. But we need this grace to do that, don't we? We can't do it on our own. We have to find grace in our human relationships. We have to find grace in our heavenly relationship. How can we approach God apart from grace? So we must find grace, but we must not fall short of grace. Make sure, verse 15, make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God. and that no root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble, and by it defiling many. We must not fail. We must not fail. When you and I, when we get to the end, will there be missed opportunities? How many opportunities have we already missed where we have failed to, we have fallen short of grace? Look at this verse. Working together with Him, with the Lord, we appeal to you, don't receive the grace of God in vain. Do you understand that God has dropped grace on it? He's given us grace to do the things He's called us to do. And if we don't do the things He's called us to do, then He gave us grace in vain. For nothing, in other words. He gave me the grace to get along with that person, but I never pursued peace. And so that grace that He gave me was in vain. You see, there's many forms of grace. It's not just grace. There's saving grace. Okay, and that's when you accept Christ as your Savior, by grace you are saved. That's saving grace. But there's grace to promote peace too. Have you ever seen somebody in a really hard situation and you're like, I could never do that? You know, whatever it might be a health issue. And you say, wow, how do they do that? Grace of God. And the reason you can't do it is because you're not in that situation. So you don't need His grace for that, because that's not what you're in. But whatever it is that you are in, God has given you the grace to handle it the right way. Amen. He's given you the grace to handle it the right way. We must not fail. We must forgive. We must forgive. Satan, because he says, first he says, make sure you don't fail, don't fall short. Then he says, and make sure there's no root of bitterness. No root of bitterness that springs up causing trouble. Boy, does it cause trouble. Cause trouble for you, cause trouble for the person you're bitter with, cause trouble for the people around you. You ever seen someone bitter? You ever been around somebody that's just consumed with bitterness? They just can't get past something? Everybody that's around them is miserable. It defiles many, the Bible tells us right here. Satan uses bitterness to take away our strength, destroy our joy, and poison our life. Satan uses bitterness. It's a tool of Satan. And he said, I like this. He says that no root of bitterness. Bitterness is a root sin. You know, other sins that we do, they're sin, nonetheless. They're no less sin than any other sin. But there's root sins that cause the other sins. But bitterness is a root sin. And you know what? If you don't deal with the root, you'll have to deal with the fruit. If you don't deal with the root, what comes of that root, you're going to deal with. And you know what? Here's the sad part. God never intended for you to deal with that stuff. He never intended it. I bet all of us have dealt with things at one point or another that God never intended us to have to go through that. Now, some trials He did. Some trials are there to grow us, to mature us, to make us more into the image of His Son. But some of the stuff we go through, He never intended, because we never dealt with the root. And we brought it on ourselves. So we must forgive. Look at the verse in Ephesians. Let all bitterness, and then anger. You know, he's got bitterness first. Why? Why? Because it's the root. You got anger issues? That's a big topic in our culture today. Oh, they got anger issues. We're going to send them to anger management. What a bunch of bunk that is. Because you can deal with the anger all you want. If you don't get to the bitterness, you'll never get rid of the anger. You'll never get rid of the anger. You see a bitter person, they get angry. You know, they're bitter at Joe. And if Joe gets a promotion, they're angry. Wow, that guy did me wrong. How could God bless him with a promotion? And they're angry. And here's the crazy part. Joe could have done something wrong. I mean, he most likely did. That's why you're bitter. But he could have asked God to forgive him. And God did. And he's the guilty one. And you did nothing. They did it to you. But you turned around and got bitter. And now they get right with God, and they ask God to, and they may even come to you. And if I would say if they really are a Christian and they really did get right with God, they would come to you and ask you to forgive them. And you're like, I'm not letting them off the hook. I can't just say, yeah, it's all right, buddy, I forgive you, because you got to pay. That's what bitterness is. You're going to make them pay until you feel they've paid enough. Aren't you glad that God isn't going to make you pay until you've paid enough? And so what's ironic is that that guy, he gets right with God. He comes to you, tries to get right with you, but you won't let him because you're bitter. And so he's good. He tried. He pursued it. You didn't receive it. That's not on him. That's on you. And now he's serving the Lord. He's getting promotions. He's got joy in his life. And you've got the bitterness, and you just keep getting angrier and angrier. And anger, and then it goes to wrath, and then shouting and slander. Isn't that the path? The guy did you wrong. First you're bitter, then you get mad, then you get really mad, then you start yelling at them, then you start talking to other people about them. And then along with all malice. See, that's the fruit of bitterness. All that stuff there, anger, wrath, shouting, slander, and malice, that's the fruit of bitterness. And if you don't deal with the root, you're going to deal with the fruit, folks. I don't know, some of you may be holding on to something. Don't hold on to it anymore. That is Satan getting victory in your life. Let go of it. Give it to God. God will deal with them. If there's something needs to be made right with Joe, I hope nobody hears the name Joe, but you know, but if somebody's got to get right with Joe, then God will make it right with him. God will, you know, he's just. He'll deal with it. It's not on you. We must forgive. And those other, and be kind, see? Be kind, compassionate, forgiving. Why? Because God forgave you. God forgave you. In another place, Jesus said, if you don't forgive, then my Father won't forgive you. Ooh. You want grace in your life? You better forgive. You better give grace. And let God deal with that person. We must forgive. Next, we have the illustration. The Bible gives an illustration. And it's an interesting illustration for grace. It's Esau. Because what it's really an illustration of, it's not an illustration of kind of what to do. It's kind of an illustration of what not to do. And we have Esau. Esau, the brother of Jacob. Esau neglected grace. Esau was all about the present rather than the future. What can you give me now? Boy, do we have a culture like that, don't we? I want it now. I want it yesterday. It says, and make sure that there isn't any immoral or irreverent person like Esau, who sold his birthright in exchange for one meal. Esau was immoral. Esau had no commitment to purity. Esau was all about the physical desire. He married several wives. None of them were pleasing to his father and mother. One of them for sure was a pagan priestess of some, you know, some cult, some pagan religion. He just saw her, liked her, wanted her, got her. Didn't care. He was all about the physical. Esau was irreverent. He had no reverence for the things of God. There was no place for God in his life. You know, when you read about his brother Jacob, hey, Jacob was no winner either. I mean, this guy is stealing and, you know, conniving and deceiving and all these things. But you know what? There was a place for God in his life, and he wrestled with God. But you know what? God changed him. And God changed his name. But Esau, we see no indication whatsoever that he ever sought God in any way. He just did his own thing. He rejected God's grace. He was immoral, he was irreverent, and he wanted the inheritance. He wanted that inheritance. It says, for you know that later, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. And why was he rejected? Because he had already rejected God. It's interesting. He wanted God's blessing, but he didn't want God. I wonder how many people are like that. I wonder how many Christians are kind of like that. They want the blessings. They want all the things that are great in this book. But they really don't want God meddling in their life. He was rejected. Because it says he didn't find any opportunity for repentance, though he sought it with tears. And you know, that way that's worded, that makes it sound like he was trying to repent, but that's not what it's talking about. It's not what it's talking about. It says he didn't find any opportunity for repentance. The word repentance, talking about a change of direction. To repent, to turn. When we repent of our sin, we turn. We're in a sin. And you know what? We turn away from that sin towards God. That's what repentance is. You turn. Okay? Listen, the repentance that he was seeking was Isaac's, his father. What do I mean? Isaac gave the blessing to Jacob, didn't he? He gave the blessing. And then Esau comes in afterwards and he says, I'm here. I got the stew you wanted. I'm here for the blessing. And Isaac's like, I already gave it away. And he started crying, but don't you even have a blessing for me? And what he was wanting, it wasn't his own repentance. He wanted his father to change direction and say, I take the blessing back from Jacob and I'm going to give it to you, Esau. But even though Esau was in tears, Isaac did not change direction. Who he blessed, he blessed. You need to understand something. Esau had the same light that Jacob had. God was working in that family. His grandfather Abraham, his father Isaac, had the same light. He had heard the same promises. The promises that God had made to Abraham and Isaac and eventually Jacob and Joseph, you know, all those promises about the Jews and how they were going to inherit the land and the world was going to be blessed and all that stuff. It was going to be those promises. Esau heard those same promises. He had heard the Word of God. He had light. I mean, they didn't have the written Word of God then, but he had heard it. The family. They were a family. There was fellowship. He saw his grandfather. He saw his father have fellowship with the living God. He was exposed to all those things. And he made a choice. And he rejected. Because you see, folks, for you and me, just like Esau, the difference between Esau and Jacob, I mean, Esau was no worse than Jacob, believe me. Read it. But the difference between them was the response. The response. God was able to, in his grace, work with Jacob in a mighty way. Esau, as far as we know, he just rejected God all the way to the grave. As far as we know. For us who have been saved by the grace of God. Okay, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you've admitted to God that you're a sinner and you can't get to heaven. You can't have a relationship with a living God except through Jesus Christ. If you have done that. There is potential that in that grace, it will provide us with every power we need, every opportunity, every strength necessary to grow to full maturity in the Lord. It's there. It's there. You have it right here. Holy Spirit. God created you with purpose. You are not here by accident. You are not here just to occupy space and consume oxygen. There is a purpose for your life. And he has provided the grace through which that purpose may be fulfilled. Christians, get this one. Christians may understand the doctrines of grace, but how many actually experience the grace of the doctrines? How many actually experience the grace of the doctrines? You know, I experience it every Sunday morning right here because I can't do this. This is not me. It takes God's grace in my life that I can even get up here and make any sense whatsoever is the grace of God. Believe me. You experience God's grace by obeying what God calls you to do. That's how you get the grace to do it. But he's not going to give it to you unless you're doing something. You want the grace to go... When I needed to ask my Father for forgiveness, I didn't get the grace until I tried to do it. And he empowered me. I'm telling you, that was the absolute hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Absolutely the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. But I'll tell you something, it was the best thing I ever did in my life. Also. It freed me. It freed me so much. Because you see, I was the one that was in bondage. I had gone years, like 15 years at least, bitter at my father. And you know what? God gave me the grace to realize all that time, he was doing the best he knew how to do. He didn't lay awake at night trying to make my life miserable. You know, oh, what can I do to Mike today? You know, he didn't do that. He just did the best he knew how to do. And I had all these things, and I was blaming, blah, blah, blah. And you know what? I came to a point where I realized he really did a pretty good job. I was the one that wasn't thinking straight. The devil, you know, he'd manipulated my mind in such a way I was consumed. I was angry. And so when I went... you know, to ask him to forgive me. Like I said, he didn't have a clue. Because, see, he didn't know all the stuff I had thought about him and harbored about him in my heart all those years. When I was at home, I was just the typical rebellious teenager. You know? And if it had ended at that, that would have been better than, you know, kind of like that rebellious kid back then. But that poor teacher needs grace, huh? Huh? Yeah, there's grace going on in that room. But all that, all those years I had contained that had robbed me of peace. Robbed me. And when I made it right, you know what? Freedom. Satan didn't have me in that area anymore. And that's experience in the grace of the doctrines. When you go and you do it and then you walk out of there. And he didn't even know what happened. He just wanted to get out of there. He was uncomfortable. And once he got out, I was like, wow, that was good. And, you know, I even got some immediate fruit. You know, I'd always wanted to hear my dad tell me he loved me. And on that trip, you know, he had come out, and I knew I had to ask him to forgive me and all that, and I did. And then when I took him back to the airport, and we hugged, and he whispered into my ear that he loved me. That wouldn't have happened if I hadn't have done what I did, folks. It never happened before. Why would it have happened then? Right? You start getting the fruit of righteousness instead of the fruit of bitterness. And we can make those choices every day. Every single day. And you know, maybe it's not your father, maybe it's some other person or some other situation or whatever. You know, God reveals that to you. But we as Christians, we understand doctrines and teachings and all that stuff. But listen, if you're not experiencing it, folks, you're missing the boat. You're missing the whole thing. Because Christianity is an experiential relationship. It's not just a bunch of rules. It is experiencing Almighty God working in your life. And it doesn't get better than that. Yes, we've heard the witness of the saints. Yes, God has set the race before us. Yes, the discipline has been rigorous at times. So now, let's go out and fulfill our purpose as examples and testimonies to the lost. Because that's what it's all about, folks. I mean, yeah, we're to grow and learn more about the Word and increase in those things. But to what end? To what end? It's the Great Commission. It's what it's about. To go out and share the power of the gospel. That's it. That's what it's about. God brings all these things in our lives so that we can go out and fulfill our purpose. And our purpose may look like many different things. You know, and it changes with seasons of life. You know, when you're young and your kids are little and it's all you can do to be a good example to your kids. Forget the rest of the world. But then those kids grow up, don't they? All too fast. And now you got another season of your life and other areas where God wants to use you. And so on, and so on, and so on. But regardless of the season, God has a purpose for that time. And we are to be an example. We are to be testimonies. By the grace of God. By the grace of God. For I am the least of the apostles. This is the verse I had Brad read. It's in your bulletin. Not worthy to be called apostle. Personalize these things. You know what? I am the least of the pastors. Not worthy to be called a pastor. Okay? Because I did what? To the church of God when I was young, you know? Things I've said, things I've done, attitudes. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And there is nobody in Titusville, Florida that thinks I should be right where I'm at. I'm telling you right now. That's where I grew up. I'm telling you. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. Are you able to say that? Are you able to say that? And His grace toward me was not in vain. And on the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, yet not I. Yeah, we say we're the ones doing it. Yeah, I prepared the message. I worked really hard. I did. But you know what? But it really wasn't me. It was the grace of God that was with me. Give credit to whom credit is due. I'm going to have an invitation. There may be someone here today. You have never experienced the first grace of God, which is saving grace. There may be someone here today. You've never experienced it. You've never got before the living God and just said, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I believe in Jesus. I believe that He died in my place. Paid the price for my sin that I could have relationship with You, Father. I've never done that. You've heard all this. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever acted on what you've heard? Have you ever acted on it? If you haven't, you need to. The Bible says today is a day. Today is a day of salvation. Because you know why? You don't have a guarantee of tomorrow. You don't have a guarantee of noon. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to get you to do something you're not ready to do. I'm just saying that's the truth. It's the truth. And you need to ponder it. You need to consider it. You need to act upon it. For the rest of us, how's our hands? How's our work? How's our walk? We've experienced the saving grace, but how's it been since then? Has there been some missed opportunities? I guarantee you there has. But we don't have to miss any more. I've missed some. I know I have. Do you want to experience grace? That's the question. We can have every head bowed, every eye closed. I just give people an opportunity to respond. Is there anybody here today? Just slip your hand up and just say, Brother Mike, I have never asked God to forgive me. I've never placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Is there anybody like that? Just slip your hand up. I just want to pray for you. I want to pray that the grace of God would touch you some way. Don't be like Esau and reject it. Be like Jacob. Wrestle with God and get it. Anybody like that? For the rest of us, how many would say, Brother Mike, I need to experience, it's just been laid on my heart. I need to experience grace in a greater way. I would like to experience grace in a greater way. Anybody like that? In a greater way. God bless you. God bless you. See those hands. God bless you. How many would say, God's revealed to me, I've kind of got off the path a little bit. I'm kind of on my own path instead of His. Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. I see those hands. God bless you. I see that hand. Amen. God bless you. It's just kind of been on the wrong path. Well, you know what? You can make a decision to get on the path. How many would say, Brother Mike, I've missed some opportunities. Anybody like that? I've missed some opportunities. Amen. God bless you. Opportunities for God's grace to work in my life. Kind of let them go by. Amen. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray. I pray, Lord. First of all, forgive us, Lord, for kind of doing things our way. But, Lord God, I pray that these that raise their hands, Lord, those that are off the path, Lord God, I pray You gently, kindly, graciously guide them back on the path You have for them. And Father God, I pray for those that miss some opportunities. Lord, I pray You'd give them eyes to see and ears to hear when there is an opportunity and the cognizance to be aware and take advantage of the opportunity. And Lord, come through for them with your grace. And Lord God, help us all to experience your grace in a greater way every day. Lord, that you would move on our lives, that you would be glorified, that your kingdom would grow, that we would mature. And I ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time. As Kathy plays, you do business with God. If you want to come forward, I'll pray with you. You come forward, you got an issue, you want to be saved, you want to deal with something, you need prayer, I will pray with you. We have deacons that will pray with you. It's your choice. If you want to deal with God right where you're at, you're free to do so. But deal with God now. What he has done in your heart, those things he brought to your mind, that's not by accident, folks. That's God dealing with you. You deal with him. This is your time. Take advantage of this opportunity. God, we come before you thankful for your word. Thank you for the grace that you so richly bestow upon us, you make available to us. Help us, Lord, indeed. Help us to consider our path. Help us to ponder where we're headed. Reveal to us, Lord, where we're really at, that we may be right back behind you, following you, right where you want us to be. May our paths be straight. Help us to redeem the time and experience your marvelous grace. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.